But one guy on the prairies is fascinated with a different kind of space. DNTO space traveler Mike O'Brien joins me now to describe the creative use, or is it manipulation, of personal space. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Sukin.
So how does one manipulate space?
Well, Sukin, like we heard earlier, most of us will furnish and decorate our personal surroundings to suit our tastes, to make us happy, whether it's a cubicle at work or where we live. But there are people who go way beyond the norm when it comes to sculpting their space. I'm not just talking about crazy redecorating. This is more than the shag carpeting on the ceiling of Elvis's jungle room. It's more along the lines of Hugh Hefner building a full-size underwater grotto in his Playboy mansion.
Cool. Well, I mean, sure, rich people can build whatever they want in their homes. That's for sure.
They have the bucks. Yes, it's true. But lots of normal folks do this, too. Right now, there's some students at Indiana University who are in trouble with their landlord because they decided to turn their basement into a beach, complete with posters of the sea, a couple of bars, with liquor, of course, and the key ingredient, several hundred pounds of sand that they pilfered from an outdoor volleyball court. And, Sukin, I can talk about this because I myself have some personal experience with this personal space phenomenon.
What do you mean, Mike?
Sukin, I love the 1940s. The clothes, the movies, the books, even the comic books. And when I bought my first house, I knew from day one that I wanted to turn that great big empty rec room downstairs into a rural 1940s cottage, the kind of place where Robert Mitchum might hide out from the cops.
How did it work out?
Not so good. I installed this gas fireplace that looked exactly like a black pot-bellied stove. It was a really good start. And then I went out and bought a chrome futon and a recliner from IKEA. After that, nothing was going to turn that room back into a 1940s log cabin.
It's true, Mike. You have to maintain a tonal consistency. So I guess you didn't follow through with I suppose, what you can call a basement space lift?
No. And you have to be committed to the end product. So can think of those frat boys who carried in all that heavy sand. And this brings me to Ted Deller. Ted lives in a small wartime house in Regina, Saskatchewan. Now, above ground, his house is very normal. But when you go downstairs, you find an amazing example of someone who has completely transformed a room into a dream. Before I tell you what you'd see, let me show you what you'll hear.
Whoa, Ted has one heck of a big vacuum cleaner, Mike.
Yes, it wouldn't be the biggest vacuum cleaner in the world if that were true. In fact, Sukin, that is the sound of an Airbus landing. Because Ted Deller has spent 10 years and thousands of dollars building a, well, it's not an airport, but I'll let him explain.
So on the left-hand side, when you come down, there's the pilot's lounge where you can relax. In theory, you plan out your flight. You know, you get the maps and the charts and that sort of thing. The right-hand side is dedicated to the actual cockpit itself. You see the galley where the flight attendants would prepare meals, that sort of thing. There's also a lavatory. Don't use it. It's not functional, but it's there. The space is taken up with a lavatory, and then you walk through the narrow corridor between them to actually get into what is a full-size Airbus A320 cockpit.
You're kidding. So Ted Deller has transformed his basement into an airplane.
It looks like something from a disaster movie. It's an actual, not that it's a disaster, but if they need a plane to crash, there's certainly the part that could play the front of the plane. It looks like a real cockpit.
Wow. So how realistic is it?
Incredibly realistic. Everything in it is full scale. The dials and switches actually respond to computerized stimuli. They're not just flashing pretty lights. Ted has real emergency equipment, including a fire extinguisher and oxygen masks that actually pump real oxygen. Now, remember, Sukin, this is for a plane that could only ever be in a crash if one of Ted's neighbors drove a lawnmower through the basement window.
Okay, but I mean, what does he do with his fake plane in his basement?
Well, Ted goes on trips. Imaginary, computer-assisted trips. He taxis out on the runway, he takes off, he travels through the air in real time, watching the dials and the gauges, and then he lands. And he does all this without the hassle of ever having to deal with a customs agent. Here's the most amazing part to me. Ted has bought software that simulates not just a flight, but the actual flight you want to go on as it would be on the day and time you want to take it.
Up on the ceiling, there's a projector that shines out onto the far wall right in front of you, in front of the whole cockpit. And as you roll down the runway, you see the runway racing past. You see the stripes on the center line, that sort of thing. You can play online with other people around the world, like if you want. You could go online and say, I want to land at San Francisco International Airport. And they taxi out to the runway. And if you're behind them, you have to wait until they've had a chance to take off. I actually sat there one morning. I told my friend about this, and he thought I was nuts. But I actually sat for 45 minutes in line in my simulator. It was early in the morning. It was Frankfurt, and it was very busy. And I was waiting for planes in front of me to take off. It does sound a bit insane now that I say it out loud.
You mean your fake plane actually has real delays?
I like to not refer to it as a fake plane. It's a simulator.
It's a simulator.
Point of pride there for him, yes.
Wow, what an obsessive attention to detail. This is amazing.
Well, I think that's Ted in a nutshell, Sukhin. He can go online, and he can actually receive actual live weather forecasts for the flight he's about to take, which can then affect his simulated flight. He's actually been fogged in his own basement.
Okay, but Mike, the question remains, why doesn't Ted take all that time he spent and all that money he spent on his basement and use it to learn how to fly, really?
Oh, Sukhin, you are not the first person to ask that question.
I've never really been all that enamored of the idea of flying around in the little planes, the little Cessnas and the Pipers and that sort of thing, the single-engine planes.
If you could jump past them to the passengers, you would be on it?
In a second. Yeah, I would love that. I love the larger aircraft. I love the interplay between the computers that are flying it and the pilots. I'm really intrigued by all of that.
Well, what do other people think of Ted, who sits in his basement taking long flights that don't go anywhere?
Sukhin, as you can guess, Ted has taken some gentle ribbing from his friends and coworkers over this. But I'll tell you, I was at a party at his house recently, and there were people lined up in his basement waiting to try a simulated landing.
Wow. What happened? Did they crash it?
Well, you would think that the inner 10-year-old boy in all of us, me and you, would steer the Airbus into a flight tower just to see the crash and the explosion. But in fact, as soon as people got their hands on the throttle, they try their best to land that fake plane. I guess it's the pressure of knowing they're responsible for the lives of all those imaginary passengers.
So some sweet non-simulated redemption for Ted. That is a pretty good example of tailoring one's space to suit one's fantasy. I wonder, though, you know, with Ted the pilot and your fat boy friends at their pretend basement beach, this all sounds kind of like a thing that well, guys do in their basement, Mike.
Yeah, you may be right. I think what this is all about is trying to capture an environment that makes us really happy and keep it close at hand, because those settings are often transitory or far away, so real life doesn't give us constant access to them. I don't know if you've seen Breakfast in Tiffany's, but if you have, you might remember how Audrey Hepburn's character used to hang out in Tiffany's jewelry store just because it made her feel safe and happy. Well, if that character had lived in a bigger apartment, maybe she would have created her own mini Tiffany's right there at home.
Okay, but what about real non-fictional women, Mike?
Okay, I did not want this to look like some obsessive compulsive male thing. I was determined to find a great example of a woman who's drained the reality from one room in her house and replaced it with a surrogate setting, maybe a fake drive-in theater or an indoor mini golf.
And?
Gotta go, Sukhin. Thanks for your time.
That is Mike O'Brien running quickly away from the studio. Mike is one of the producers here on DNTO. So, is transforming your basement into an altogether other world simply a guy thing? Chicas, we want to hear from you. Email dnto@cbc.ca or call our basement is not a basement hotline 204-788-3182.